Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey, After Buzzers, Orange is the New Black is back. We are talking season 7, episode 1, Piper's out of jail, Alex is doing some bidding for other people, and Daya may have lost her prison wife. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, AfterBuzzers? We are back!
Yeah!
Orange is the New Black.
Go.
It's so crazy. It seems like it's been so long, but also not long at
right.
all.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. Thank y'all for joining us. Like I said, we are covering Orange is the New Black Season 7, Episode 1 tonight. Still so crazy that it's the final season, but here we are. I'm your host, April, joined by my lovely co-host, we have Brianna.
Hello, everybody.
New to our panel. Thank you for joining
Thank
us.
Thank you for having me.
Francesca.
Hello. How's it going?
And Leslie.
Hey.
Y'all, such a great first episode. We got to see kind of every character a little bit here and there. Mm-hmm. What are your overall thoughts?
I'm just really anxious because we only got a taste.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And there's already so much drama in the first episode. So I'm just really, really ready to see how much more deep it gets.
Definitely. I felt it was a little bit more exciting than last season already in just the first episode.
Yeah.
So
it was a strong first episode, mm-hmm. and it kind of did feel a little bit of a reset a bit. You know, it was very Piper-centric, and we, you know, caught up with some of the women in, you know, how they've been doing since then, but it was kind of mostly her. And then it looks like the show is trying a new device of, like, listening into people's thoughts, which was kind of interesting. At first, I was like, what, is this something new? And I'm kind of into it. I'm looking forward to if they continue to do this for the rest of the season, like starting to hear the women's thoughts in these situations.
Definitely. Totally agree with everything that y'all said. I loved the voiceover. It is, there's something like exciting about this episode. I don't know if it's just because it is, you know, we know it's the last season or something, but there was just like a little extra seasoning.
Yeah.
We have a lot for y'all tonight, so definitely stay tuned. We have a very special segment that we're going to do every episode of the show. We also have a special top three of our top three favorite female ships throughout the whole entire series, so we definitely want to know what y'all have to think about, along with some great news and gossip and predictions for the whole season. I want to start talking with basically who the meat of the episode was about, Piper.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we see her going through the typical ebbs and flows of what it's like to be out of prison. She's giving pee samples, meeting with her probation officer. I was most surprised about the situation with her dad because we've seen them have a great relationship throughout the show before. What did y'all kind of think about her part? Especially, well, I selfishly want to know the stuff with her dad. What did y'all think about that?
I feel like this episode was really interesting because, okay, so if you remember where she was when the show started in season one, very different. Like, she, you know, was upper class, close with her family, loving relationship with a man, and, like, she had these friends and, like, this career. And now she's just, like, very estranged from, like, her family, even her brother who she lives with. But, like, you can tell he's, like, what are you offering? She is like the restaurant she used to look down on. Now she's getting fired from, and you know, this relationship with her dad is now like, you know, it's very, you know, strained. And you know, they sprinkled a couple of flashbacks in this episode, which was what made me think of her in the first season and just how different her life has gotten to. And it was her choices that led her down this path. But and she told her dad, you know, not all of them, but I regret most of them. And I think it's her kind of finally coming to terms with, like, what her life has become. You know, when she was in jail, she kind of still was, like, had the, okay, I can look forward to my life back. Mm-hmm. But now it's like, okay, well, I'm back in my normal life. But no, okay, things have kind of changed for me permanently. And so I think it's going to be a lot of her realizing, like, it's actually hitting her more now than when she was in jail, I feel.
Definitely.
Yeah. There's also a lot of change when it comes on to her relationship with Alex. And so it just shows, like, you're out of prison and you don't even only have to stress about your situation with your friends and family on the outside, but even your relationship is suffering and things are just so different. And it sucks because they both feel a change in their dynamic, but they just can't say it because they know how painful it would be to have to come to terms with how, like, there's nothing you can do to get it back to how it was. And it's kind of ironic to say that their relationship was a lot healthier when they were both in jail.
It's definitely like a situationship. Like, they're put in that situation. They're making the best of it because they were in that tiny, you know, universe. I agree. I thought that was interesting because when they both sat down, you could tell it was just so fake, I guess would be like the best word.
Forced.
Yeah, forced, faked. Like, I was just, me, I'm like a open book. So I was like, oh my God, I would be just be like, oh my God, on the way here, I got fired and this and this and this. And they're just like trying to preserve what
they're
little
not
bit
on
they
the
have.
Same page. Yeah. And even in that, I feel like the one moment of levity they had was when she was going to tell her, oh, you know, this funny thing on the phone. And then Piper, she like kind of ruined the moment. Mm-hmm. And they lost any sort of actual connection or sharing that they were going to have. And it's just very, it's pleasantries. And I think it makes me wonder, like, how is their relationship going to be when, you know, she does get out of jail? Like, are they going to be able to find that connection again? Mm-hmm. Or is it, like you said, like, is it just, like, when they're in tough situations and kind of sort of bonded together that their relationship actually works?
Right. Definitely. You can tell that they're trying not to, like, bring the other down. So Piper is out of jail and she's supposed to be doing, you know, I don't want to say she's supposed to be doing well, but obviously better than being in prison.
Right.
But she's not really. I mean, she's not locked in a cell, but clearly she's locked in these other ways. When we see her having the conversation with her parole officer, and she's like, well, it'd be great if I could pick up the night shifts. Oh, but I can't because those go until 1 a.m. Or if I could work at this other restaurant that offered me a job, but she can't because they sell alcohol. And then you have Alex, obviously going through a lot worse than Piper could ever compare to at the moment, but neither of them want to bring the other down. She doesn't want to say, like, I'm doing these terrible things in prison. And Piper doesn't want to say, no, things are awful. Because why, like, burst the bubble of the dream that you have?
But side note, I really liked her parole officer. She, like, had some really hilarious moments in the episode.
She's gonna be funny. I hope they bring her often.
She had some sass for sure.
Yeah.
I loved how she's like, you can pay me now or go back to jail or whatever she
said. And, like, no sympathy. She's just like, this is how it is.
And that's how you gotta be, I guess. Like we said, she's living with her brother and they're living this holistic lifestyle, which is great, I guess.
Is it?
I don't know about it to be great for her.
Bathroom in the sink.
Yeah, the forcing the baby to figure out, do you want to pee or poop, and using code words to figure out, like, what?
And it's a baby. Like, it's a newborn baby. Yeah. It's not like a two-year-old who you're like, okay, so you need to pee now.
Yeah.
In the sink.
In, like, water. That's crazy.
I mean, they're obviously not doing very well financially either. They're like, oh, we could really use those $60 from Airbnb in your room. And obviously, they're sharing a car to take the kid to the baby, or to the baby's doctor, so that's why Piper had to take the bus. So it's like, that's why I thought it was kind of interesting because the brother kept saying, you know, maybe you should ask her dad for help. But it's like, you know, is he also not in a good place with his, with their father as well? Like, or was it maybe he just always doted on Piper in the past? I'm not really sure.
He always, like, doted on Piper. It wasn't like their relationship was bad, but Piper was just more the apple, more of the eye, the successful one, and the son was always just doing his own thing. Kind of like the black
oddball.
Sheep. Yeah, the oddball.
I found it interesting that she, you know, she's living with her brother, but there's still the dynamic of money because so many people don't even have a place to stay whatsoever. So that's why, you know, we see people in real life going to halfway houses and we've seen people on the show do that as well. But she has a situation where at least she has a roof over her head, but it's also like, okay, at what point are you going to start making money? But we learn, you know, because she got early release, she's having to pay all these extra fees. And it's just, you know, kind of like we talked about in our preview show. How do you do something with no money? Like, if you can't actually have someone that gives you the chance to make a decent living, how are you going to do anything? Like, she's fighting for $50 to be able to go and see her wife in prison.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel like I learned, like, okay, she was like, I didn't know I had to pay for my own testing and all of this other stuff. And it's funny because when she was talking to her boss about asking for the days off, it's like she was asking for a lot all at once. I was like, Piper, you're not going to get this. Like, she wants the day off and the afternoon off and her check early. But it's like she actually really does need all of that stuff. Yeah. They're important to her. So it's just not like she's trying to be that person. But it's also like, you know, you're really not going to be able to.
You're not entitled to it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And you can't always get what you want.
Yeah.
Like, when she's asking her boss for these things, I was thinking the same thing as you. I'm like, this is too much. But, like, they're all equally important. Like, she had to have off to go visit her parole officer. Okay, that's a non-negotiable. You have to do that.
Yeah.
But then to her, seeing Alex is just as important because clearly, you know, this is the first time, I think, or it seems like one of the first times they're seeing each other. That's also equally as important. Yeah. That's your relationship. But, like, you got to give on something, and it seems like she's been having to give on seeing Alex. Yeah. They also said something interesting about, like, I granted you this inmate visit, which I thought maybe it's, like, a special thing that ex-inmate can't visit a current one.
That's a thing. Like, in real life, you're not allowed to go back to the prison and visit other inmates.
Oh.
Because you guys can catch me on Life After Lockup, after show. And so that was a situation with one of the characters on the show, because she had a friend that was going to jail. And a big thing was that she can't visit her friend, and her friend was going to be gone for 10 years. And that was just, like, the law. Yeah. So that's why I was really surprised that Piper was able to go see Alex.
She got furlough. She's going to see Alex. She got a lot of stuff.
One more thing I noticed in her conversation with her boss, she never said, like, oh, I have to see my parole officer. I'm visiting a friend in jail. I feel like she was hiding the fact that she was a felon.
I hope not.
She can't hide it.
Or at least her personal information.
At least that and that job. I mean, so she ends up getting fired at the end anyway, but I feel like that was probably already putting her in a precarious situation because she wasn't being completely truthful.
Yeah. I thought the same thing when we were watching it, but I was like, no, surely she told them, because on every application, like, no matter where you're working, it says, like, have you ever been
convicted of a felony?
But I'm sure it's just, like, you don't want to keep mentioning it every time. Oh, I need this off because my parole officer. Right. I would drop it if he wasn't giving me it off, then I would drop it. But, I mean, I guess that's what you get when you work at Thunder Ties.
Clever name. Clever name.
I read it as Thunder Thighs originally, so I was like, this is amazing. It's like all the pho places in LA. We got a few flashbacks of Piper. One of my favorite was seeing Larry, aka Jason Biggs. Yeah. I've loved him since the beginning, and I liked their dynamic, even though it was weird, obviously, because she was a secret lesbian. I'm a secret lesbian, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And so I liked being able to have the flashbacks and hearing her do the voiceover of, like, wow, my life used to be this, and I thought this was difficult. And the flashback of her with her friend, where they're talking about doing ecstasy. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all of these things used to happen that she probably took for granted because she thought, I'm never going to get caught. This is never going to happen to me. And then here she is now.
Yeah.
Let that be a lesson to you.
Right.
Don't do drugs. Before we get into her, like, official visit with Alex, Brianna has a little something for us.
I do. I just wanted to take a special moment to thank everyone for watching. Thank you for making AfterBuzz the ESPN of TV talk. This opportunity means everything to us, and we're so happy to be able to bring content for you guys and your favorite shows. Make sure if you're watching to subscribe on YouTube and give us a thumbs up, and also make sure to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Make sure you comment to do all that stuff. Follow us on all our social media. We read everything. We want to hear from you guys, and just thank you.
Yes, thank y'all so much. We really do read everything, and I love interacting with the fans because we have all these strong opinions, but everyone else does as well, so I love hearing them.
Mm-hmm.
Alex is in some clear trouble at Litchfield right now.
Yeah.
If we remember, leaving off season 6, she agreed to kind of help Madison or be on her team. I solely call her Madison now, by the way. I don't call her Madison at all. The COs even call her that, so it seems fun. She agreed to help her in order to get her off Piper's back. But then Piper ended up getting early release anyway. So now she's just done all of this for nothing. So she is miserable, obviously.
Yeah.
What do y'all think about her tactics of trying to get Madison in trouble?
It got me nervous because for a second I thought she was purposely trying to do something to Tasty.
Mm.
So I was really confused for a second. I'm like, what's going on? What is she doing? But, I mean, it ultimately worked. Unfortunately, it dragged Tasty into it, though. Right? To solitaire.
I feel like Tacey always gets drug into stuff that she never has anything to do with. I think that I liked that she was taking a little initiative, but it's just like in her conversation with Piper. It's like, leave it alone. Yeah. But that seems like so minuscule in comparison to all the rest of the stuff that she's doing with the drugs.
Yeah, well, we learned that she told her, hey, I'm going to try to, you know, stay out of trouble and be on the down, you know, kind of stay clean. And mm-hmm. she kind of found herself this episode being forced to, you know, sell or figure out a way to unload these drugs. By the way, all of her interactions with that...
C.O. Hellman.
Yeah, I was like, what's his name? Mm-hmm. Were awful, and they felt very just like...
He's gross.
Like, you know, whenever he put the condom of, like, you know, all heroin. Of the drugs, heroin, in her mouth and, like, stuffed it, it felt so rapey. All of it was just, like, awful. Like, she's being forced into this situation, has no control over it. And, like, she even said, this busts in my stomach, mm-hmm. I'm gonna die. And she kind of found, like, a solution, you know, she was gonna sell it to Daddy, and then we get the big, like, surprise death of the first episode.
Yeah.
Which, so that put her in more of a bad situation, but, like, that was crazy. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
The scene with him, like you said, putting the condom of heroin in her mouth.
Yeah.
It was just, it's like, there's a weird part of me that likes seeing those scenes. I don't like seeing that scene. But, so you gotta listen. Or I have to say before it's like, oh, she likes that scene.
Yeah, yeah.
I like seeing that because I feel like that's the kind of stuff that really happens.
Real life.
Yeah. Because the CEO doesn't want to get in trouble, mm-hmm. and they want to be able to, you know, show this is what happens to a prisoner mm-hmm. that maybe did terrible things to get in here, whatever, but is also, like, literally putting her life in danger so that other people don't get in trouble, or so that the CEO doesn't get in trouble.
Yeah.
And it was just, to think about it, and even seeing him give her the laxatives at the end so she could, you know, poop it out, mm-hmm. it was just awful. And the fact that she's being forced into the drug situation and can't get out of it with Madison, it's like, I feel like she's in a no-win situation.
No, yeah, that scene, I mean, it was, that moment was so awful and hard to watch because it was an invasion of her body. Like, and, you know, it's like, it's a rubber. It's going down your throat. Like, there's all of these, it was awful. And then you see her having to clean it and still having to figure out, okay, how am I going to get out of this? How am I going to get rid of this? And it's just...
That's where this new character comes in. She's at the very beginning of the episode, but we see kind of everybody in the yard, which is where we see some of our favorite people come in that didn't have big moments in the show. We see Suzanne. We see Pinsatucky. Obviously, this is where Tasty enters. But there's this character that's walking around to everyone asking for drugs. Yeah. And at this point, we have, obviously, Madison is bringing these in through C.O. Hellman, but we also have... Dia still doing her thing. The thing that was crazy as far as, you know, obviously in this part with Alex at the beginning in the yard with the drugs, when Tasty enters, it's like everyone seemingly is kind of scared of her because they think she committed murder, whatever. But then she's also, we get a glimpse of her still being the same Tasty when Alex does the phone trick and, you know, hides the phone, which I was like, this is... pretty amateur for the stuff that y'all have done before, but hiding the phone under Madison's pillow and calling it, but Tasty was in the room. We still see the same side of her because she has this little, you know, the appeal denied thing under her, and she gets that, like, almost girlish, like, no, give me that. Mm-hmm. Not girlish, but you know what I mean. She's just still kind of hoping for the same thing. I liked being able to see both aspects of her character kind of mixed in there with these other people.
Yeah. And it really says a lot about her character too as a person, because a lot of times when you're in a situation where you have this reputation of this badass or like, oh yeah, I was convicted of murder, they ride that, you know, it's kind of like a up in status now and yeah, everybody's afraid of me, but Tasty could care less because she knows the truth. She's sticking to that and she doesn't care about like what anybody thinks of her or what great respect that she'll get from it. She just wants her life back. And I'm glad that it didn't change her that much to where she just stopped caring about stuff and ended up being reckless like how Daya is. Mm-hmm. And so I just really admire her in that sense.
Same. I mean, she's still Tasty. Like, she still gets down as we see her literally, like, bang Madison's head on a thing. They go to ADSEG. I mean, like, but I feel like that's something Tasty would have done all throughout. There is the part of me, though, that thinks, like, she just... I mean, she has life in prison at this point. There's, like... I feel like she just doesn't care. Yeah. She does care in the sense of like, oh, maybe there's still hope of me getting out one day. But she also is just like, let me just bash your face in.
Yeah.
Because you're a little mean to me. But that's kind of how it goes. One of the other interesting parts that kind of has to do with Tasty is the interaction between Suzanne and Cindy whenever they're in Luzchek's dance class. Luzchek is still here. Still teaching dance.
Still teaching dance. Stomp that.
Oh, yeah. Every time his shirt comes off, I'm like,
no. Put it away.
Right? But the, you know, leaving off on season six, we remember that Suzanne was, you know, being quote-unquote manipulated, technically by her friends. Or not technically, by her friends. Mm-hmm. And she saw the situation of the other, what are they called? The SWAT team. That's who actually killed
the stormtroopers.
Piscatella.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? Piscatella. Yeah.
But obviously that's why Suzanne was committed, or what's the word I'm thinking of? Accused of murder and officially found guilty. But Suzanne and Cindy saw it all. Suzanne is the one who's kind of manipulated into believing that this is actually true. So to see this interaction with them where she still really thinks this, obviously we know that she's in psych. Technically, she's off of her meds at this point in time, but she still believes this to be true. And to see Cindy kind of really stick to her guns in this moment and be like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. This isn't true. And it just confuses her more. Was a little confusing to me, because Cindy, who went against her in the trial, now I'm like, are you feeling all of this remorse? We knew she was going to, yeah. But like, I don't know, to see her saying it kind of just out in the open where anyone could hear, was just a little confusing. I'm like, now you feel bad? Now you feel like telling the truth when it doesn't matter?
She's felt bad the whole time. She felt like she had no other choice, though, and she didn't see a way out of that situation. But you saw her in this episode. I mean, obviously, it's still eating at her, and she's getting letters saying, you know, rat, you know, snitch. And I mean, essentially, I guess she got kicked off the show that she had, you know, with Marisol. But I think the whole scene with her And Suzanne was really, because Suzanne's really smart, but she's also like very childlike and naive. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, this is what I've been told. Like, this is this institution, like the judge and the jury, they all said she did it. So it's almost like these figures of authority that she sees, she weighs them more as against what she saw with her own eyes. Like, she is just like, yeah, she did it. That's what they said, even though she knows, like, she saw that she didn't. And so I just thought that was an interesting moment with her about like these competing ideas in her head, but like what she still ends up believing because of the systems. And, you know, what other people will believe too. Like, this is someone who knew her and saw the situation, but she's still like, oh, well, she's a murderer. So what is everyone else going to think who isn't in the situation? They're going to see Tasty as a murderer and they don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like the part with Pensatucky and Suzanne in the yard. This is at the very beginning of the episode where she's kind of telling her, you know, she's waving at Tasty. She's like, oh, hey, come over here. And Pensatucky quickly stops her because she's like, no, she's not your friend anymore. She's, you know,
she's a lifer.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. She's a lifer. She committed murder because no one else knows the truth, obviously. And, you know, not predicting anything, but I'm like, I would just wonder if we're going to see the truth come out. I did read an article where Danielle Brooks, who plays Tasty, said that she really hopes that someone just tells the truth. But then that also makes me sad, because if that happens, then like Cindy screwed. Not only did you lie on the stand, but you know, you witnessed this as well and still lied. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how we're going to be able to do that. Our other kind of main arc of the episode was with Daya and
Daddy.
Mainly Daddy. R.I.P. Daddy's obviously in R.I.P.
That was fast.
That was
so fast. They wasted no time.
I didn't see that coming. I mean, you know, as I was watching this episode, I was like, oh, yeah, you know, last season ended with, you know, these two figureheads, the competing sisters, who, like, ended up killing themselves off. And so now she's the new person running, you know, that side, and Madison is running the other ones. And now she's gone, too. And the whole thing was like, man, they're not playing around this season. They're going for it.
What is it that Daya gave her? It was some sort of, obviously it was drugs.
Well, do you remember in like the beginning when they were in the yard, who was it? Was trying to give the girl that wanted drugs some
hooch.
And she's like, I promise it doesn't have hand sanitizer in it like all the other ones do. Mm. So I don't think Daya realized
what was
in it. And that just shows how much Daya's just messed up and on drugs, because she was completely not even thinking, not even caring. Mm-hmm. She's just mad because daddy's over here doing things for quote unquote business.
Yeah.
Cheating. I'm like, no, she ain't doing that for business.
Yeah. And thought she was being, you know, sly, and she didn't realize, like,
yeah.
I mean, we all didn't realize. You were so confused. Like, whose
really confusing
feet are these? But.
And also, like, was it intentional? Was no. she just.
She was just out of it. Thinking. Yeah.
But it's
okay. Because even when what's Hopper pulled her to the side and was like, what are you talking about? Daddy's dead. And Daya's like, Daddy's not dead. Like, she's out gone. Of it.
Yeah.
She didn't even realize what the happened? Seriousness of what she did.
Yeah.
So it definitely wasn't intentional.
I think it's really sad because. Out of all of the characters on this show, I feel like Daya has descended the most.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
from where it's she so
began.
Sad.
Like, she stuck herself with a life sentence now. You know, she had a baby and she had to, you know, it went into the system. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have really any support anymore, you know, and now she's just, like, someone who's high all the time, doesn't care. I think even her relationship with Daddy, I don't know if it was actually, like, they loved each other, but it was, like, this was someone that, like, you know, this is hers, you know, the person that's gonna take care of her or gonna watch out for her. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as she felt any ounce of, like, oh, okay, I don't have you all to myself, or I don't, you know, if she felt some sort of betrayal, like, how quick she was able to, like, turn and essentially cause her to die.
Yeah.
I feel like once you reach a point where you're her mom,
Aleda.
When you have Aleda telling you get your life together and get it, like, do better.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, you've hit bottom.
Yeah. Can we talk about Aleda this episode? Because
she all over the place.
She's crazy.
Also, like, wild. I feel okay as a female saying this, but she is a hoe. Like,
I mean,
car, she doesn't know anything else.
The kids you're walking by. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh, okay, I guess she's back with her baby daddy Caesar. And then it's like, oh, she's still with her guy. And, you know, she's getting what she needs.
She's just very selfish. And it really sucks because, I mean, we could go into a whole nother sidebar topic on this. But we won't. But, like, about just this whole thing about cycles, like prison cycles, her cycle as, like, a mom, she never liked kids. She never wanted kids. Mm-hmm. Yet she has, like, five. And you saw them talking at the dinner table just, like, so disrespectfully. Yeah. And just, like, it's like, why would you raise your, you know, why would you have kids and go through that if you don't even like them? You're so concerned about yourself. Because now, like, look at Daya as example.
Yeah.
Like, she's just kind of repeating...
The mistakes
in, you know, different ways.
That whole scene with them at the table was really funny, though.
It was
like
funny.
The two daughters going off at each other, and then later, you know, at the end, she kind of gives them a look like she's kind of proud.
She's proud.
Yes, like, she did mini-niece. Look like she was proud.
Yeah, they're mini-niece.
But can I say, though, as much as, like, her character does a lot of, like, really, like, you know, despicable things, I really enjoy her character.
Same.
She's fascinating and interesting, and I almost feel like we see her traits a lot of times in male characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, not really caring for your, like, you know, as a mother or a woman, sometimes it's like, oh, you're supposed to have this maternal instinct. Mm-hmm. She doesn't really have it. That doesn't mean she doesn't love her kids, but that's just not the kind of woman she is. And so I think, I don't know, I like watching her scenes. I think she's always entertaining.
I think Aleda is the perfect example of when you go into the system, like, you go into the system messed up, and then you come out and you try to do better, but then it just doesn't work for you, and you just go right back into your old ways. Because she really did try to go the legit route, didn't give it enough effort, and then she's like, F it, I'm gonna go ahead and do what I know what to do, get this money, take care of my kids. But it sucks because there's so much potential for her and Hopper to really have a normal relationship, but it's almost like she's more attracted to the chaos.
She definitely is.
Yeah. And that's what's, like, she's her own roadblock, and she doesn't really see it, or she sees it and she just doesn't really care.
It's just like her giving up on Daya, you know? She's knowing that Daya's doing these drugs that she's bringing in to, or, you know, essentially Daya's the drug mule. She's obviously doing them. But she gave up on her because she's like, oh, she's high, she's hooked.
That's
like,
crazy.
She's not going to get better at this point. So let me just let me keep doing this. I don't really care about you, but get these other kids back. And then we see her back with these other kids, and she, just like you said, is repeating the same cycle.
Yeah.
Doing all the same stuff, back with Caesar, I think his name is. It's just, I will say, like, you know, as much as I love her character, she also, like, I'm like, oh, I just want to shake you so bad.
Yeah.
You have so much potential. But I literally, we all, actually LOL'd when she got out of that car and the napkin fell out of her lap.
You're like, oh man.
I mean, I don't know if we LOL'd as much as we cringed, but
both at the same time.
Yeah.
I love that the show is going to do something like that. Like, let this fall out. With Daya, though, I think that the moment where y'all were saying, you kind of just made me have a little bit of an epiphany, because think about when Daya and Daddy are in the thing and she's like, we have to establish dominance, yada, yada, yada. And Daya's like, yeah, let's kill her. She's mm-hmm. like, whoa, yeah, honey, let's not do that. I was like, did she? Because she was, did she kill Daddy on purpose? But no.
Well, I feel like maybe there is more to what happened in that situation, and we'll find out.
I mean, it's definitely possible. But it's interesting to me that the only times throughout the episode that she seemed with it or not high are the two times where she saw Daddy, like, looking or with another woman. So it's like, if she's in this state where everything is just bad when she is coherent, then she's only going to feel good when she gets high. Right. But that's like, you kind of put yourself in this situation. I mean, obviously, these things have been put on her that she can't control, but she knew, you know, she knows very well what she's doing in the sense of when she's doing these drugs. Mm-hmm. But I think if she didn't, I don't think she actually did it on purpose, but I think it's going to hit her when she really realizes that this is the reason why she died is directly because of what I gave her.
Mm-hmm. Maybe this might be a wake-up call for her.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah, I hope so, because, like we've said, like, this is, she's the one that's fallen furthest from her original arc, and, like, let's bring her back.
She would be the best, like, comeback story for us, because I don't think there's any way that she's going to get out of her sentence, but she's the one that I kind of root for the most to be like, no, because she was so innocent, even though, you know, she was like hooking up with Bennett all the time. Exactly.
I would love that. I feel like she's just going to be the sad story. Yeah, I feel like that too. Yeah, I don't really see her getting better.
Yeah.
I mean,
we can hope.
Cross fingers.
Well, we're hoping.
Our other favorites didn't get too much time in the episode, but we see Lorna's had her baby. Baby is with Vinny.
Sterling.
Baby Sterling.
Shout out to Sterling.
Yeah, she used to be on our panel. And also we see a very small snippet of Gloria in Red. Yeah. Red is just ridiculously depressed because she has all this time back, or additional time on her sentence. And basically everyone's just depressed at this moment in time. So hopefully we'll see some up and up.
Yeah.
Before we get to our special segment, anything else we want to say from the episode? Anything we missed? I think we hit on everything.
I think
everything.
We did really good for the first episode.
No.
Breeze through it.
A lot of stuff happening, but...
And I hope we see more with Tasty. Like, we got a little, you know, when she started fighting with Madison and you saw the letter, you know, appeal denied. So obviously she's still, like, that means she's still fighting. She's still trying. I mean, obviously it doesn't seem like her efforts are paying off. But I hope that that doesn't just end there. And, I mean, we do see... we see Cindy feeling guilty. So that's the story where I'm, like, really hopeful. I'm like, I hope that that still gets resolved in a positive way.
Same. Definitely. Okay, Brianna's going to do our special segment for us.
Yes. All right, cool. I'm excited.
Okay, so we have this fun little game that I love to play. It's called Who Did It?
Love it.
And so I have three ladies that committed heinous crimes. You see them right there. And I'm going to read the crimes to you. You guys have to guess, like, who did what crime.
So they did these crimes in real life.
These are real life criminals. Like, real life.
Okay.
Okay. So we have lady number one. These might be a little easy for you, but we'll see. Lady number one, her name is Squana Barra. Oh,
this is way easy.
Is this the lady in the red?
Don't guess yet.
Oh, no. Well, they can see the pictures.
Okay.
You shouldn't say names.
Okay, yeah. So, well, that's too late. Anyway, let's continue. So, she was a Mexican wrestler. She pretended to be a nurse / social worker and gained home access to people. And basically, she strangled them and then robbed them.
Oh, my gosh.
And she ended up getting convicted of 11 counts of murder.
Ding.
So, the next one is Dorothea Puente. And she ran a boarding house in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. And she poisoned her residents and stole their checks.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay.
And so the cops raided her house found body parts buried in the backyard.
Oh my gosh.
And so she got tried for 9 murders of that.
Oh, okay. Casual.
Right. And then our last one, this last one needs to be a movie. Like, I promise, if someone doesn't make this movie, I'm going to be mad. Catherine Knight, she worked at a slaughterhouse, but she killed and skinned her boyfriend. Wait for it. Cooked his body parts. Hold on. And served them to his kids.
Oh my gosh.
But she kept it healthy with a side of veggies.
Okay. Well, that's what smells for you.
She kept it healthy. So, Juana Barraza, Dorothea Puente, and Catherine Knight. Who do you think is who?
I'm going to go for it. Juana is the lady in red.
Okay.
And I think the lady who skinned her boyfriend is the lady in the middle.
Catherine.
Okay. And then I think the bad checks is the lady in blue.
In blue. Okay.
I'm gonna go with that as well.
Same.
You're all going to go with the same thing?
Yes.
Oh, my God. You got it right.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You're absolutely right.
Like, literally, the one in the middle, she looks like she just made stew. Yeah.
she put the head in a stew pot. That's so funny that you said that.
Good thing I haven't eaten yet because my stomach's already upside down. But yes, that would honestly be a great movie. Yes.
That would be bomb.
This is going to be maybe one of my top special segments I've ever done with After Buzz. That was amazing. Thank you so much.
Of course.
And now we have our top three.
So obviously, you know, there's so many great themes that we love about the series, and as we are in the last season, we wanted to look back and look at our top three favorite female ships, so female relationships, and this could be encompassing friendships, maybe a little bit of flirtation, but like our top three.
Yes.
So let's get started with number three. It's Nikki and Lorna. So they obviously have a very special friendship, and obviously Nikki, you know, would have liked to have made it more, but
she tried a lot.
She tried, and I mean, that didn't mean they didn't have their own moments of pleasure, but, you know, Lorna is still straight, and that's what she prefers, but you know what? They're hilarious together, and they really bring a lot of humor to the show, and regardless, even if Nikki couldn't have her as a girlfriend, she obviously loves and cares for her as a friend, and vice versa, and so they're really cool. They're our number three female ship of the show. Number two is Flaca and Maritza. Obviously, I don't want to get makeup advice from any other pair. they obviously had such great chemistry. They were both clever and sassy, and you can tell, like, they could have really been the biggest YouTube stars ever.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I would love to catch up with Maritza and see what she's
And doing. Obviously, we miss her and would love to see. I mean, I'm hoping we get to see what happened before the end of the series. Mm-hmm. But, you know, these are two girls that always look fly in prison, and we know that they might be. And number one, female relationship. Female ship of Orange is the New Black. Do you guys want to say it together?
Okay.
Okay, let's try.
Tacy and Fusé.
I was like, I gotta say Fusé first.
So, obviously, they... Exactly. Like, the story that broke our hearts so many times. But they had such a beautiful relationship. Mm-hmm. There was so much genuine love. It was genuine friendship, caring. You know, when the show first started, Fusé, like, you know, had feelings for her more than just friendship. And obviously that kind of put a damper in their relationship as friends. But you know what? They grew from it. They were each other's, like, partners, ride or die. And, you know, Tasty saw Busey's last moments and, like, fought for her and has been fighting for her and the spirit of her ever since.
Yeah.
And they are literally, like, one of the reasons that the show, you know, has been so great. They were the heart of the show for a long time. Mm-hmm. And so we love their ship. We love their relationship.
Love them all so much. Love it. And now we have some news and gossip.
Yes.
TV news.
Speaking of Tasty,
ow.
Check out this amazing, beautiful, glowing pregnancy picture that she shared on social media. So she's actually expecting right now, which is kind of cool.
Yes.
The actress Danielle. And, you know, we just want to show her some love.
Congrats.
And be like, hey, we see you. Yeah. Look at her.
She is pregnant and not in prison.
Yes.
Just living her best life. Yes. And mother, her looks good on her.
It sure does. Okay, now we have predictions.
AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So much, obviously. We have a lot of... We're just on episode one, but mm-hmm. give me some, like, overall or episodic predictions, whatever y'all think.
I feel like we're going to see Alex and Piper's relationship definitely either end or go through a lot of, like, ups and downs now that they're split up. I've never necessarily rooted for them, mm-hmm. so I kind of feel like it might go in this direction. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's
I care about them sometimes and other times not. I do think Alex and Piper are endgame mm-hmm. for this show, and so I feel like they're probably going to have their issues, but I feel like at the end
they're going to be together.
They're going to break up, but then at the end of the last episode, she's just going to look at her and be like, okay, come here. And I am interested in seeing what's going to happen with Red. I kind of see her staying in prison and sort of just embracing, like, being the prison mom who, like, helps other girls, and, like, maybe that ends up being what gives her happiness and purpose in life. I'm interested in seeing what happens with Daya this season, just because based off this episode, I feel like she's got some demons that she's gonna go through.
I'm definitely interested to see what happens with Red and Gloria, mm-hmm. Because they are gonna get closer, and I feel like Gloria's also a prison mom. She's not as, like, hovering as Red is, mm-hmm. but she's definitely a prison mom, and I love her. So I can really see her going above and beyond, making sure Red's well-being is intact. So I want to see that.
Love that. I'm going to predict that actually Tasty is going to be our saddest story of Orange is the New Black.
No.
Just because I think she's the one who we would root for the most, and I don't think they're going to give us what we want in that sense. I think they will with other things, but with mm-hmm. with her... You know, I feel like the most heartbreaking things on the show that we've always wanted, they've never given us. So I could see her not winning an appeal, and it's like how they show the system works.
True.
Oh, Indiana loves
it. I know, right? One more thing. We didn't see Blanca this episode, but I'm hoping that we see her soon this season because what happened? I gotta know.
I know.
She got to make it back to Diablo.
Absolutely. Right. Thank y'all so much for joining us. Such a great time with y'all. Let us know what you thought in the comments. We definitely want to hear from y'all. In the meantime, y'all can find me everywhere at April Wissenham.
You can find me on Instagram at Brianna, @IamB_Cheyenne.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at XOXOCESCA.
Leslie here, and you can find me online at LeslieThatFace.
See y'all for next episode.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.